Father, we love you, Lord, this morning. We say, hallowed be thy name. We say, thine is the kingdom and the power. Thine is the glory, the majesty, and the dominion for all that is in the heaven and in the earth, and indeed anywhere else is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power. Thy hand is might. In thy hand, O Lord, is to make great and to do us good, even as it is this day. Now, therefore, Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And we declare that the entrance of your word today will give light and give understanding to us. And let the name of the Lord be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I pray that we are expecting something new from the Lord from time to time. I want to minister to us today on this subject of Lord. It's kind of like a prayer, but there's something that we need to talk about, a lot of things we need to talk about, you know, as part of this lesson. Lord, let us experience something new. That's right. Something new. Praise the Lord. The Lord himself, you know, he promised to do something new. From time to time, we can, you know, latch on to that promise and say, Lord, you said you would do something new. Let's read some of these promises in the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 9. We start out with that one. He said, well, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So the Lord, you know, said he would do new things. Because of that, he says we should sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Everywhere we are, you know, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. Though that go down to the sea, everything that is there in the house, the inhabitants thereof, the villages, everything. Let them even shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. And the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar, shall prevail against his enemies. Praise the Lord. He said, I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself, but now will I cry like a travailing woman, and I will destroy and devour at once. Well, destroy all the enemies of the Lord and the enemies of his people too. Praise the Lord. I will bring, he said, I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up the herbs and make the rivers islands and dry up the pools and so on and so forth. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Now, these are new things. You know, something they have not known. That's something new. You know, a blind person has not known light. You know, especially if they were born blind. And they say, I will make that darkness light before them. I will make crooked things straight. Now, that's all new things that the Lord wants to do. These things will I do unto them and will not forsake them. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But those that trust in graven images or golden calf or whatever else, well, they shall be ashamed. You know, the Bible says. So, a lot of powerful promises in that text. that the Lord promised to do. There's another one in Isaiah, you know, chapter 43, beginning at verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? Remember, he said in the other place, I will declare them, and you shall know it. Well, so I say, what? Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. That's new. And rivers in the desert. That's something new. Yeah. People are not used to finding rivers in the desert. They're not used to finding a way in the wilderness. Wilderness is where you just stumble around. You don't know where you're going. But the Lord said, I'll make a way. And the rivers will suddenly appear in the desert. These are new things that the Lord said he's going to do for us, and so on and so forth. But, you know, he wants us to call upon him, turn our gaze upon the Lord. He said, you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have been weary of me. You know, and you've not honored me with many things. Even though I have succored you and I've increased you, you have not brought me glory and honor. Well, the Lord will do even new things. He wants us to experience new things. Even I, he said, I'm he that blotted out your transgressions for my own sake. That's new. I will not remember thy sins. That's new, because everybody else will remember those things. Put me in remembrance, saith the Lord. Let us plead together. Declare it that thou mightest be justified. Praise the Lord. Now these are, you know, some things that the Lord wants us to consider. I just read those texts just as a background. There's many more things we want to share. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord, you know, likes to do new things. And we saw that he was always doing new things, even clear on to the end. You know, even at the end of the book, in Revelation 21, we read the first 5 verses, still talking about God doing something new. I mean, he's always doing something new. Always wants to do something new. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You know, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I mean, he's always doing new things. And then you drop down here in verse 5 and says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said, right, these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. And what are the things that he would do? Well, he said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and they shall be their God. He will be right in the midst of them. We're not going to be looking for him in heaven anymore. We are there with him, and he's there with us. God himself shall wipe away all tears from the eyes. Now, that's new. And shall be no more death. That's new. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, the Lord was always wanting to repair even broken things, bring new things out. He likes to do that. There was a lesson he wanted to show Jeremiah at one time, and in Jeremiah chapter 18, he sent him down to what the Lord called the potter's house. He said, well, Jeremiah knew who that potter was. And he said, well, go down there, and when you get there, I will cause you to hear my words. And so usually God, in the, especially in the olden days, he engaged those prophets to enact the thing that he was wanting to show them or tell them. In this case, well, Jeremiah was going to witness something, and then the Lord was going to tell him something about it. And so the Lord said unto him, arise and go down to the potter's house, Jeremiah 18. And there I will cause you to hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house. And as I got there, I found that he walked a rod, a walk on the wheels. So the potter was doing his thing. I mean, that's what the potter does, making clay, doing pottery and all that. And the vessel that he made of clay, as Jeremiah was looking, he saw that it was marred in the hand of the potter. I mean, in other words, he got messed up and bent out of shape. You know, I think the clay spun out of the wheel and all of that. And the thing was just, I mean, it just didn't turn out right, basically. So, what did the potter do? Did he throw it away? No. He made it again. Another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. So he looked at it, was trying to do something with it, but it didn't turn out right at first. So he made it again. Another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord, remember I told him, when you get there, I will cause you to hear my words. Now, after he had seen the thing, and as he was pondering what meaneth this thing in his heart, the word of the Lord came to him and said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, even so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. That's right. So the Lord, you can take something that's messed up, broken lives, that is. God is in the business of fixing up broken lives. Now the question that I must ask us though is, are you satisfied with the status quo? Or do you want the Lord to do something and cause you to experience something new? Well, let's talk about some people that experience something new in their lives. You know, I'm going to have several examples to share. It's powerful people that walked with God and experienced something new in their lives. But first, I want to talk about Gideon. He was a man in Judges chapter 6, we read of him, that was not satisfied with the status quo. I mean, the angel came to him and saluted him, a powerful salutation. But Joshua was not impressed. Gideon was not impressed. And he said, look, I'm not satisfied with this thing, because, you know, if that's the way you see it, well, I don't see it that way, he told the angel. You know, so in those days, the children of Israel were tormented, bullied by the Midianites. You know, always bullied and so forth. And different things were happening to them. And they used to hide from the Midianites. When they wanted to thresh wheat, they would go hide, because what the Midianites did was let them do all the work. then come there, bully them and take it. Take their corn, take their wine, take everything. You know, and so when in this Judges 6 and 11, there was an angel of the Lord that came, sat down, you know, in a certain place because he wanted to meet Gideon there. And Gideon was somewhere close by, hiding from the Midianites as he was threshing wheat. The angel of the Lord appeared to him then and said to him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, that's a great salutation. For the angel to think of this man as a great man of valor. Well, Gideon didn't think so. He said, "Oh, my Lord, you know, why are you saying the Lord is with us? Why you think of me, mighty man of valor? Who are you talking about? The Lord is with us. What are you talking about? If the Lord be with us, how come all these things are befalling us?" You know, that's somebody who was not satisfied with the status quo. And even though the angel was saluting him, you know, with, "Hey, the Lord is with you. You know, the Lord, you are a great man of valor." I said, "No, I don't see any greatness. You know, if the Lord is truly with us, how come all these things are befalling us and we have to be hiding here from our enemies? Where are all those miracles?" That's right. That's the way you do it. "Where be all those miracles which our father used to tell us of? And did not the Lord bring us?" They used to say, "The Lord brought us out of Egypt. The Lord did this. The Lord did." They used to tell us all these things. We were not there, but they told us all the time. Passed it down from generation to generation. "We have not seen any of these things. Surely the Lord has forsaken us." The Lord is not with us, you know. But he wasn't saying in a way that he was bitter against the Lord. He had an hunger, you know. He had a thirst in his heart that he wanted something more, you know. He said, "Well, but now the Lord has surely forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And so the Lord looked upon him and said, see, that thing, you know, the Lord actually saw something there. I said, "Wow. I like that fire in this man." And that's what the Lord is looking for. Once someone has fired up, that's not going to sit on their oars, rest on their oars, or sit on, you know, something, or their past accomplishments or whatever. And they want more from the Lord. This man said, "I don't know. You know, all we've heard is testimonies of great things the Lord has done. Well, I haven't seen it." You know, "I need my own experiences. I don't want to live in somebody's experiences and somebody's stories only. Show me something new." This man was hungering and thirsting for something. And the Lord looked at him and said, "I like that fire that I see in you. Go in this thy mind. Did I not say unto you that they are a mighty man of valor? And by your hand will I save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Be strong. Very courageous." And the Lord said, "Well, you know," Lord told him. And the man, he said, "Well, who am I that the Lord should choose me to be salvation for Israel? I'm a poor man. My family comes from Manasseh. And, you know, and I'm the least in my father's house. I am not even worthy of his call." Yeah. Most people that the Lord call, sometimes they feel like that. "I'm not worthy." The Lord said, "Don't worry about it. Surely I will be with you. Thou shalt surely smite Midianites, even as though they were one man. You smite them all together." And so, well, Gideon still didn't know, you know, hadn't really up to this time experienced the voice of God one-on-one like that. So he said, "Well, okay, if it be true that I have found grace in thy sight, as you say, then show me a sign that it is you that's talking with me and not just my own mind." You know, and well, he asked for, he went and did something, brought a present and so forth, and then did this and that, you know, And the angel of the Lord received it. And the Lord told him that, look, I have sent this my angel to go with you. And when the angel of the Lord, you know, did marvelously, then Gideon, well, finally he knew, he said, well, that's the angel of the Lord. My goodness. You know, because the whole time, he maybe might have thought it was a man of God or something. But now he said, look, I perceive that he was an angel of the Lord. My goodness. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord encouraged him. Don't worry about it. But people used to think if they saw the angel of the Lord, that they would die. He said, no, you're not going to die. So the Lord, you know, encouraged him. And, you know, he built an altar there before the Lord. And then there was, later on, the angel of the Lord came to him, still trying to give him the assignment, you know, and so forth. And he was doing the fleece thing, you know, took cotton wool, you know, put it on the ground and all of that. You know, the rest of that story. But this man wanted something new that he would experience. And God actually did show him something new, because these folks were used to, you know, in the way they used to fight their wars, and their fights was, look, you got to outnumber your enemy, or at least match them. You know, you got to get a lot of men of valor together, you know, when you go to battle, because, you know, they thought the battle was always to the strong, you know. And the victory was all going to go to the mighty. So you try to get as many people as you can, train them for war from the time they are 20 years and up. You know, Israel used to do that. And if they didn't have enough, they reach out to, you know, some of their allies and say, hey, come help me against these, my enemies. So the numbers thing was also in Gideon's mind. So when he started out, you know, he got 32,000 men, you know. And they were, you know, these men were trained. And he thought, you know, surely, you know, I can go out with these 32 men and do something good. 32,000, rather. But the Lord looked at him and said, these people that are with you are too many. So the Lord's going to do something new here. Instead of, you know, asking him to get more people into the army, the Lord said, reduce them. Oh, that's something new. You know, people are not used to reducing the numbers in their army when they are going to war. They were used to reaching out for more help. But this was something new. God was going to show Gideon that he was going to do something new. He said, there are too many. Send them away. Everyone that's fearful, let him go. Yeah? When the Lord began to filter down the people the first time, around 22,000, you know, of them left, and only 10,000 remained. And the Lord said, well, the people are still too many. You know, do this and do that and so forth. And I'm going to filter them. That at the end of the day, he ended up with 300 people from all the way from 32,000. Now that is something new. And the Lord said, by these 300 men will I deliver the Midianites into their hands, into your hands, lest the people think that they have done it by their own numbers. Now that is something new. That you would go up with a very small number like that and win a battle in the days when numbers was the game, that was something new. Praise the Lord. We need something new from the Lord. The Lord told Jeremiah, as an invitation in Jeremiah 33:3, he said to him, call unto me. You know, look to me, call upon me, and so forth. And I will show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Now, the Lord had already shown Jeremiah many things. You know, Lord already told him that even I knew you from the womb and so forth. I already called you. I already ordained you to be a prophet even from the womb. And God was already showing him many things. But this invitation went out, you know, to the Lord. Call unto me. And it went out from the Lord to him. And I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, that's an invitation from God. And that, you know, we must respond to that just like God is saying. If we're not calling out to God for new things, we may not experience new things. We will just be experiencing the same old thing all the time. But the Lord said, call unto me, I will answer you. It's a promise. And I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest. I don't know if there's anybody in the room today that would love to experience something new, something which God himself calls great and mighty. I mean, not many things that God will call great and mighty, you know, but he did. So, well, if you call on me, I will answer you. I'm going to show you great and mighty, which you don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter what we know, there are still things that we don't know. No matter what you have experienced, there are still stuff that you have not experienced, you know, from the Lord. And this is the message from the Lord to us today. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, Paul writes, if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. So that's it. You know, it doesn't matter what we know. Doesn't matter how much stuff we think we know or have experienced. The Lord is saying, well, you haven't known anything yet. You haven't experienced anything yet. What have you seen? Have you seen the glorious hand of the Lord in victories and different things? Great. Let's praise the Lord for that. But the Lord said, you haven't seen anything yet. I can show you even more stuff, even more things. Wow. I can cause you to experience new things. And there's also other new experiences that we can have, you know, different than what is going on around. You can experience something unique and extraordinary that others may not be experiencing. It can also be called something new from the Lord. Let's take a look and, you know, see some people in the scriptures that experienced something new. They were already getting, you know, great experiences with the Lord, interaction, good interaction with the Lord. But sometime in their life, they experienced something new. And the Bible recorded it to encourage us. I mean, we start out with, of course, Enoch. That's where we start out with. And you know, we love that Enoch fellow. He walked with God. First of them to be called someone that walked with God. And this platform patterned after him, walking with God. Enoch. You know, let me tell you something that was new that Enoch experienced. From the days of Adam until Enoch, there were seven generations. Enoch was the seventh. Every generation there, from Adam to Enoch, they all were waiting to die. Because that's what the Lord had pronounced on them. The day that you do this thing, you will surely die. And they did the thing. And so the Lord drove them out and they couldn't put their hand to the tree of life. And they knew death was coming. Well, they didn't know they were already dead. They thought they were still waiting to die. But they were already dead because to be driven away from the presence of the Lord and from the tree of life, that was already death. But they were waiting to die. And they lived long, you know, but they'd been around the glory of God, you know, for a while. I mean, And so it took a long time for the light to fizzle out of them. Hundreds and hundreds of years, many of them lived. But they couldn't get up to that 1,000-year mark. Because the Lord said, in the day that you do this, you will die. And 1,000 years with the Lord is one day. So they all died in that one day. Because they could not get beyond that one day. But God had intended in that one day, they would have brought the whole earth into alignment, colonized the earth for the Lord, for the Lord's kingdom. That was his plan. But they couldn't do it. But every one of them, you know, were waiting to die. Every one of them. In fact, you know, to the questions that Enoch would have asked Adam, what mean these seraphims or cherubims with a sword and so forth? What is it? Well, it's something that they are preventing us from doing. What is that? Well, we can't go into that place. That place is nourished, it's green, it's got all kinds of things. It's even got a tree of life in it. And we can't go in there. Well, but why not? Enoch would ask. Well, and Adam would say, okay, sit over here. Let me tell you some stuff. Tell him some stories. He said, well, I don't know. You were fellowshipping. God was there with you and he was there with you and had all that power. And you were there with him. You could talk to the animals. You could do this. You could even go down into the sea. You could do all of that. Say, yeah. Well, you can't do that anymore. I said, no. But why not? You know, our children used to ask questions. And they say, well, you know, say, well, I need to get in there. I need some of that tree of life. Son, see those creatures over there? They're not going to let you anywhere close to that. It's over. We can't go in there. You know, the Lord said we are going to die. And so we're waiting to die. But you are not dead yet. You know, we say, yeah, but it's only a matter of time. Adam would answer. We are all waiting to die. Well, Enoch scratches his head and says, well, we'll see about that. We will see about that, if we are all going to die or not. And there was something that triggered in his heart. Many of his, the prior generations before him, they heard the same stories that Adam would tell them. Because Adam was lamenting the loss of the access to the tree of life. So he always told those boys as they came along. And he would always try to tell them, look, whenever the Lord tells you something, you know, be sure you do it. Don't go against his word because see what we lost. But every one of those people heard the same stories that Enoch heard, but it didn't trigger anything in them. It made no difference to them at all. They would just hear and say, oh, that was a great story, grandpa, or whatever they called him. And they would just move on. There was nothing. Because they did not engage those stories in the spirit. But one man, you know, he was not satisfied with that judgment of doom. You know that, so you mean this is final? We will never experience that again. We can't have that power like you did. The knowledge to know the names, to give all the animals and to talk to them and everything was in order. Why are all these things wild now? Adam said, well, they were not wild at one time. Well, they are wild now. How do we fix it? Well, we can't. we say, well, you know, we'll see about that. He was not satisfied with the status quo. So he was 65 years old at the time when he began to ask these questions. And then he made a decision in his mind that he was going to walk with God. He's going to figure this out. He didn't call it. Adam, you know, himself wasn't thinking that it was walking with God. It was just, I need to find this thing out for myself. You know. And so, asked Adam a few more things. Where is the way to God? Adam would say something like, well, you know, just, you know, talk to him in your heart. He'll be there. Okay. So Enoch said, well, I'm going to figure this thing out. I need to find out for myself. And the closer, the more he pressed in wanting to know, the more God was drawing him in. God was drawing him in and he was pressing in. God was drawing. Enoch had all the challenges that we have today. He had sons and daughters and so forth. You know, And it wasn't like, oh, we were just going to live the life of a recluse or something, that he had nothing else going on. He had all this natural life like everybody else, but he wasn't going to be satisfied with being kept out from the glory that Adam had and the power. There was something that intrigued him about, you know, you really could command the animals and they were all obedient and everything. Yeah. And all the plants didn't have any of these poisons that we see now? No. Well, I got to get some of that. This man, he walked with God for 300 years trying to figure out. In the process, God showed him a lot of things. Things that there was no way he could have known. I mean, at the point that Enoch was there, there probably were dozens of people on the earth. At most, but Jude would later record that Enoch, in Jude verse 14, say Enoch, who was the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied saying, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. How did Enoch know that? I mean, how could he, there were not even 10,000 people on the earth at that time. How could he have known that? I mean, he saw clear on out into what we are waiting for today. Enoch saw it. That's something new. He experienced and he prophesied. The Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. You know, if you count the number of people that were in the earth at that time, probably just a few dozens. But yet, he pierced the veil of time and was able to bring that prophecy way back then. How did he know it? Well, that was something new. But guess what? The greatest new thing that Enoch experienced in his time was power over death. That's right. Everybody else was going to die, and everybody else was dying around him. But he figured out and experienced something new. It was new. I mean, nobody thought it was possible anymore, because God already, you know, judged them, and they were doomed to die, or condemned to die. But this man, he pulled out something and nobody thought was possible. He figured out how to outpace death. See, death was catching up on all of them. They began to live less and less in terms of years. That light was leaving them. You know, Enoch said, look, I'm going to figure this thing out. And he did. He experienced something new. Received power over death. He wanted it too. He wanted to get into that tree of life. Adam said, you can't get in there. I said, well, if I can't get in there, whatever is in there, I'm going to find it some other way. Either I'm going in there or what's in there is coming to me. But I'm going to experience this thing one way or another. because Adam told him many things that tree of life could have meant to them. He said, well, I'm going to figure this thing out myself. And he did. Until this day, Enoch is not dead. Till this day. There was one man in the Bible that did not experience death and would not experience death. And that's Enoch. He didn't die. Even Elijah, who also was translated, will eventually die. He'll be one of the great tribulation witnesses that will come and eventually die. Jesus himself tasted death for every man. But Enoch, oh no. You know, he experienced something new. And that was Enoch. Can read his story. This story I just told you is condensed in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Very, very short verses, but we just unpack them, you know, for you. That's the greatest story never told. The greatest story in the Bible that was never written is the one I just told you of Enoch. It's never told. It's not there. But it happened. And he figured it out. He were not told how he figured it out, but he figured it out. You just heard the story today. And some of you have heard it before. Well, use your imagination. You know, there are days when the Lord was showing me these things in my mind. You know. So anyway, that was Enoch. You know, was the first man that experienced something like that, that nobody else could experience. Now that was something new. It was something new for you to walk with God for 300 years. And then at the end of the 300 years, be translated that you should not see death. That was something new. What about Noah? Well, Noah also walked with God, they're told. You know, he found favor with God. At the time of Noah, all the animals were wild. God didn't make any wild animals. They were all, you know, docile and everything. The glory of God that was oozing out of Adam put everything in check. There were no wild plants, but the Bible says everything he made was good. If they were poisonous, you could not have called it good. If all the animals were crazy and wild like they are today, he would not have called them good. But they were all good. You know, but at the time of Noah, God was going to bring something new. The whole world was going to be destroyed. But Enoch, who left in, left the earth without seeing death, was one trailblazer. Noah will be another trailblazer. I call these people trailblazers. They experience something new. Call all the animals one day, say, you all line up here two by two. And they all obeyed. They lined up before him. And he would just check it out. That one, okay. The Lord was speaking to him. Okay. You guys go in, the rest of you go back. This one go in, the rest of you go back. Can you imagine that? The lion, the tiger, the puma, the cheetah, all these crazy wild animals together with the chicken and the turkey and the deer and no wild animal was preying on anything. They were not growling and all of that stuff. Just put them in their plates. Y'all sit down there until it's time for you to eat. And don't be looking at those chicken now, told the lions. And every one of them, you know, just held their peace. You stay in that corner until I tell you to come out for your meal. You be there. And you know, they were there for weeks. They were there. And control them like that. God put a substance back on him. He was creating something new that had been lost. You know, he had power over the animals again. And not only that, he escaped the fury of God. Because he... Bible says he found favor and grace with God. He also, we are told, walked with God. Not to the degree that Enoch did, because he couldn't make it out of here without seeing death, but he did too. You know, he experienced something new, which nobody else at that time, everybody else, when, you know, even he was the only one hearing from God at that time. The other people were mocking him and he was telling them what God was going to do. And for 120 years, they were building that ark. There are many stories in the life of Noah that we should consider. The Lord told him he was going to destroy the world. And he told him, you know, how to save himself and his household. But you must remember, this is a side lesson, that God did not, repeat, God did not build the ark for Noah. Now God showed him where to get the wood. You know, God gave him wisdom how to do it, but God didn't do it. You know, God told him the flood was coming, but he, Noah, had to build the ark. You know, these are some lessons of life. It's things that you're going to have to do. I have to show you how to do it, but you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to build that ark, Noah. And it took him 120 years. Why do you think it took him so long? Well, he tried. Maybe he failed. Maybe he didn't get it right. Maybe he tried again. God was patient. God was going to wait until he finished building that ark, no matter how long it took, before God would send the destruction. Because God was going to save him, because the man found favor with the eyes of God. In the eyes of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And, you know, you can say that he also walked with God because, you know, the Bible says so. In the book of Genesis, chapter 8, chapter 6, verse 8, we read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Just like Enoch, Noah also walked with God, and he experienced something new. Now, this walking with God thing seems to be something common so far with these people that are experiencing tremendous new things. Well, they sure did, and escaped, you know. So God may tell you that the storm is coming, but you are going to build the ark. God may show you where to find the wood. You know, you might say, God does not make furniture. Yeah, but he creates wood and he gives people witty inventions in their minds to make furniture. God didn't make any furniture, but he makes the wood. And somebody crafty, you know, somebody that has some skills are going to figure it out. That's what God does. Puts knowledge inside the heart of man to figure these things out. That's a, that's the element of God kind that is inside us. And God is a creator. He loved to create and make things. And he put that thing, like the DNA, is inside us too. You can make things, you know. God put it in there. People make things. Just make things. Because we're like God in that sense, in a way. Just make things. Not everybody discover those abilities, but they're there. You make a lot of things because God himself is like that. And we are created in his image after all. And there are some others that experienced something new. I have a lot of them to cover. I'm not sure how much of that I'll cover today, but we'll talk about it until we finish today and tomorrow or whatever, you know. But that's just number two, and I have several. Now, what about, you know, this? Now, remember, not only did these people experience something new, there was a determination in their hearts somehow, you know. And then, you know, they experienced it. And I call them trailblazers because everybody else going in one direction. Everybody else thought it would be one way. Everybody else succumbed to something. People around Noah, they all succumbed to unrighteousness. But Noah, he walked with God and saved his household. Now, there was a story of some people that walked in fire. They're called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. They were also trailblazers. We had not heard at that time or before that anybody would be thrown into a fiery furnace, bound hand and foot, and then come out alive. You never heard that. But these folks, they did. It was something new. Never been heard of before. Now, let me say this at this point, that look, just because something hasn't happened or been done before doesn't mean it can't happen or won't happen. As a matter of fact, the way I see it is, it just means you haven't heard of it. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Might have happened. Maybe you just didn't hear of it. Or you just didn't know of it. But even if it has never even happened, we see people, trailblazers, you know, that defied logic. Enoch defied logic. You know, the speed at which darkness and death was catching up with everybody. He outpaced that thing and got far ahead of it. And death couldn't catch up with him. Or being transformed into light, and it was moving faster than death, faster than darkness. The next thing you know, one day is completely transfigured and he's gone. That's right. You know, and these people figuring out a lot of things. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't know exactly if on how God would deliver them. They knew that he could deliver them. They were persuaded that God could do it, and they knew he would do it. But whether they did it or didn't do it, they didn't care. They were not going to save their lives. Jesus said, well, he that will save his life will lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you get it back. Now, these people, they said, well, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. You see, they were persuaded that God could do it. And he will do it. They also embraced the fact that he would do it for them. But even if he doesn't do it, for whatever reasons best known to him, well, we know he will. But even if he doesn't, we still will not bow. They were sold out for Jesus. I mean, for God in that time. So, and they come out of that fire, boy. Nebuchadnezzar had the fire cranked up because they said it to his face. We will not bow to your gods or your music. We won't do it. And the man was furious. Crank up the fire 7 times. The people that even cranked up the fire and tried to throw them in there, the flames of the fire even slew their captors. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar was standing way up, perhaps behind a fireproof glass or something. But he was looking to see that this man would be, you know, just demolished and disintegrate into ashes. But even though they were bound hand and foot, the moment they threw them in the fire, they were loose walking around. And there was one other number four person with them there. And like, oh my goodness. What is this? Well, those people defied death. They escaped the fury of the fire. That was something new. Never been heard. Never been done. But they experienced something new. They experience something new. What about Daniel? Nobody ever heard. In fact, that's the reason they said throw him in there. Conspired against him to trap him in something they knew that he would not bow. They knew if you tell him the only way we're going to get him, they knew the integrity of Daniel was, you know, we're going to get him in the matter of his God. Oh, there's no other way. He's a clean man. Well, let's make a law contrary to the law of his God, because then we know he will not keep that law. And let's get this king to sign it, and that way it was an entrapment. Yeah. But Daniel, in the integrity of his heart, he walked before God. Ah, goodness. These people knew he couldn't escape the lion's den, but they were envious of him. I mean, Daniel was always getting ahead of all of them. Not because he asked for it, but God was with favor. Daniel was like a favor magnet. You know, whether he was a slave in captivity or not, he saved everybody at one time. All the wise men of Babylon, Daniel saved them. Because they were going to destroy all of them because they couldn't interpret the dream. Daniel saved everybody. I mean, so God promoted and everything. And they threw him inside that lion's den, boy. With the hope that the lions will finish him off. And early in the morning, the king was lament. The king didn't sleep one wink that night because he loved Daniel and he knew that they had trapped him. And he was up hoping and hoping. Early in the morning, he went, "Oh, Daniel, man of God, is thy God whom you serve continually? Is he able to save you? Has he saved you?" Daniel responded, "Oh, king, live forever. I'm here." Oh, my goodness. The king was doing cartwheels. He said, "What?" Yeah, he said, "Well, you know, I'm right here. The lions are there." "The lions are not there." "Of course they are. I slept soundly." Even slept, you know, these lions, they have this, the males, they have these thick manes and so forth. Maybe one of them was a cushion for him. I just slept quietly, you know. He said, "Inasmuch as my God found no evil in me, he took away the power of the lions. They did me no hurt." He said, "Oh my God, get him out of there. Get him out of there." And all those men that conspired against him, throw them in there. Before they even got down there, the lions had mastery of them. Daniel, he experienced something new. Nobody else ever made it out of that lion's den, but Daniel did. Nobody else made it out of the fiery furnace, but those children, those young men, they did. They experienced something new, and they were trailblazers. Never been heard before, but they knew God could do it, and God did it. And same thing for Daniel. They all experienced something new. Well, I'm going to talk about Moses. I've got a few more to talk about. But let's talk about Moses. You know, Moses, oh my goodness. I mean, there was almost nothing that he was not experiencing. New things all the time. I mean, he'd never seen anything like burning bush. He didn't even know what it was. Experienced that was new. Heard the voice of God was new. You know, and all the things, the signs and wonders every time. So those signs and wonders was experiencing something new with God. And then finally got to the Red Sea. And that was something new. Whoever heard of such a thing? The singular, most spectacular physical miracle in that Old Testament. That was it. There's nothing like it. It's never been done. Never been seen. Never again. You know. And he experienced it. And they all passed through the Red Sea. All baptized in a cloud. And he experienced it. And he experienced all those great things. But he wanted more. He wanted more. You know. You can read his exchange with God in Exodus 33. Say, "Lord, show me thy way that I may know thee." And I often think, I say, "Show me thy way. What about all these things? You've seen his way through the Red Sea. You've seen his way with all those signs." And when I said, "No, the people saw his acts, but Moses learned his ways." I said, "Oh, yeah." And this Moses, he said, "Show me something, Lord. I want to know." And I said, "That I may show me your glory." I said, "So all those things are not glory? I mean, all the power, the pillar of fire, the burning bush, the miracles you are able to call." He even did creative miracles, called frogs and lies and things, you know, locusts out of nowhere. Creative miracles. You're telling me that's not glory? But he said, "I want to see your glory." There was something more that he wanted. "Show me something new, Lord." Every time, you know, he experienced something, he wanted more. You know, "Show me something new." And Lord said, "Well, I'll show you. There's plenty where that came from." And the Lord was showing him new things all the time because he desired and hungered for a new experience from God. He wasn't satisfied with all the stuff that he had already, you know, had with God. My goodness. The Bible even says that the Lord talked to Moses face to face. You can read that in Exodus 33, verse 11. Face to face. My goodness. It's been a long time since Adam that we heard that, you know. But this man experienced all of that. And yet, you know, he was still saying, you know, if I have found grace in thy sight, verse 13 of Exodus 33. In verse 11, we are told that the Lord spoke to him face to face. He speaks to a man. A man, his friend, or rather, speaks. And in verse 13, you know, we see in verse 13, he's praying, Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. And begin to talk about, show me your glory. Give me this, give me that. You know, after all of that, still wanting more? Wow. Now that was somebody that was destined to receive new things because they hungered for it. They wanted more. Glory to God. You know, what about Elijah? Elijah would experience something that no one in his generation had experienced. In fact, nobody before him. And we don't know exactly how Enoch went. But this man, Elijah, you know, God sent him an entourage from heaven. Come on, pick him up. Glory to God. Chariots of fire. Come pick him up. You know, this man was somebody else. You know, quite a trailblazer in his time. I mean, he walked with God. You know, he said, look, there shall be no rain except by my word. Thus said the Lord before whom I stand. He locked up heaven, you might say, put the keys in his pocket and walked away. That's it. No rain until I say so. But of all those things that he experienced in his lifetime, the sound of abundance of rain, all the miracles that he did, power that he had to call down fire from heaven and so forth, yet he wanted something more. He knew within his heart, you know, that he needed to experience something, and he did. To go in the chariots of fire, that was something new. You know, that was something new, ladies and gentlemen, because nobody ever done it. And even everybody, the young man of the school of prophets, they knew it was going to happen. They didn't know exactly how, but they knew. They said, well, you know, Lord, because maybe Elijah, I don't know, maybe he'd been talking about it. Well, I'm going to meet with the Lord. And I said, well, the Lord's going to take your servant, I mean, your master off your head today. You know it. Elisha said, be quiet. I know it. But this man, Elijah, experienced something that nobody else ever experienced. Now that was something new. Let me go through these, the rest of these quickly. I will develop some more of these tomorrow. But let me go through this rest of these quickly, just so you have, you know, a complete list here of the ones that I wanted to talk about, if I remember them all. You know, that was the chariots of fire with Elijah. He experienced something new. You know, the disciples of Jesus. Well, they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years or thereabouts. But one day, they would experience something new. In Acts chapter 2, we are told when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in the upper room. And then the heavens split like that. You know, tongues of fire came down, split upon each of them. My goodness, they received power, boldness like you never could imagine. Peter, who couldn't speak anything before even a maid, stood up and indicted a whole nation. 3,000 souls were saved and baptized that one day, just from his preaching alone. And clothing tongues of fire, they began to speak in other. Nobody ever knew any such thing. even the Jews that came in from everywhere, they said, well, what is this? It wasn't just gibberish that they were saying. People were hearing and understanding what they were saying, but it wasn't their own language. I mean, it wasn't the native language of the person speaking. That was something new. And Jesus told them about it. You will speak with new tongues. But they didn't know, you know, how it will be or when, but it happened. Experience that new experience. They received. Jesus said, look, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from above. The promise of the Father, which I have told you, that was something new. They were going to experience something new that they'd never experienced before. Jesus told them, you know, you will receive power. They had power. You know, Luke 10, you know, Jesus sent them out. In Matthew 10, he sent them out. You know, it was recorded that he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases. But this was a different kind of power. They had never experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit like this. Jesus said, he is with you now, but he will be in you later on. My goodness, that was something new. Peter wasn't, you know, shy from anybody anymore. You know, he was able to go now to testify for the Lord. You know, testify. And people experience different things in their lives from time to time. But even the people who experience great things, sometimes they become weary and they need to experience more. You know, Moses became weary. You know, he was wearied by all the, you know, hardness of hearts of the people. And he needed more, needed a refreshing. He began to cry out to God for more, and he did get more. Elijah was weary after dealing with 400 prophets of the group and another 450 and so on. He was weary. He was run away from a wicked woman called Jezebel. He was weary. He wished to even die. You know, say, look, you know, I'm not better than my fathers. You know, he was weary, but he experienced something new. You know, when God would meet him in 1 Kings 19, experience at the cave was something new. After that, he wasn't running from anybody. You know, not running from Jezebel or anybody. Coming back now, has experienced something new. He saw the earthquake. He saw the fire. He saw the wind. He saw all the rocks renting. He saw all of this. But finally, he experienced a still, small voice. Now, after that, he wasn't running from anybody. These people were always experiencing new things. New things. And that's what we must hunger and thirst for. Jesus said it himself. You know, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness or after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, not everybody will be filled if they are not hungering and thirsting for it. You know, there is a level of hunger and thirst, you know, that must come into our hearts in order for us to be filled like that. Matthew chapter 5 or 6, you know. So when we are hungering and thirsting, can experience something new. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Philip. Not Philip, one of the close disciples, or whom we might call apostles, but Philip the deacon, who was among the seven deacons that were appointed to serve tables. When the apostle said, look, we can't leave the word of God and be doing this ministration to widows and so forth. Choose you yourselves, men full of the Holy Spirit, seven of them that we can appoint over this duty. But for us, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So they selected Philip and Stephen and five others. This same Philip went down to Samaria. You know, in Acts chapter 8, and he turned the whole city either upside down or right side up, whichever way you wanted it. A whole city! Now, this was a man that was supposed to be a deacon to serve tables. He did serve the tables. But then he went down and brought incredible miracles. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 6, that the people saw and heard all his miracles that he did. They gave their lives to Christ. They turned over their curious hearts and everything. He turned that whole city around. People were coming, submitting their charms and different things, giving their lives to Christ. They were getting saved, and their power was going on. To the point that they said, look, they had to go call in the cavalry, if you want. Call the apostles from Jerusalem to come, because there was so much going on. And they came. But this Philip, that was not the new thing that he was going to experience. He was yet to experience the new thing. There was something new beyond that he would experience. In the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 39 to 40, Philip experienced something new. That's right. We call it physical, bodily transportation. It was something new. Now, there was a time that all the apostles at one time, or the disciples of Jesus in the boat one time, experienced it, but they had never experienced it individually. One day, Jesus entered the boat, and the Bible said that, and immediately, the boat was on the other side. Well, something happened there. But this man, Philip, experienced it individually. The Spirit of the Lord caught him up. The disciples couldn't even say they did it. We know Elijah used to have that experience. People knew it in his time. But it had been, that experience had been gone for a long time. It was something new in the time of Philip. And he experienced it. You can read Acts chapter 8, 39 to 40. When he finished baptizing that eunuch, came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught him up. And he was found in a different place, miles and miles away. He experienced that. My goodness. What about Peter? He experienced angelic deliverance out of prison. Gates opening up to themselves. Even James could not escape that, but Peter did. In Acts chapter 12, verses 6 to 9, the angel of the Lord brought him out of that place. Yeah, that was something new. Even the people praying for him did not expect it. You know, they didn't know. Now that was something new. You know, what about Mary? Mary was a trailblazer of trailblazers. We have never heard since Eve, actually, that any woman without a man would conceive. Never been heard of. Isaiah saw it. Spoke about it in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, but nobody knew how it would be. You know, so what? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child and call his name Emmanuel, and so on and so forth. God with us. Until one day Gabriel, the angel, visited Mary and said, fear not, Mary, found favor in the sight of God. The power of the Most High shall overshadow the Holy Ghost to come upon you. You bring forth something that will be called the Son of God. Say, how can this thing be? I don't even have a man yet that I'm with. She was espoused at the time, but they hadn't come together. It was yet to be future thing. He said, well, I don't know. But it happened. It was something new. She experienced something new. Wow. How did she experience it? Well, the angel of the Lord told her to come. She said, well, be it unto me according to thy word. That's it. At first, she would say, well, I don't know. And the angel was patient with her because really, she didn't know. Really, nobody knew. So it wasn't something that they said, look, you should know that this can't be. No, nobody knew that could be. So the angel was patient to her and he explained it. But as soon as he was able to get her to say, let it be unto me according to thy word. As soon as he said that, his job was done. As soon as she said it, he left. Said, my job is done here. That's it. You know. So, she experienced something new, even though it was way out there. Because she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. And as we are going down this message, this line, well, What is it that the Lord is speaking to you? You yourself can experience something new. The Lord can fix the broken lives. He showed Jeremiah how to do it. And all these examples, they're not just stories for you to laugh and enjoy. God is bringing lessons out of each of these. You can experience new things too, no matter what you've already experienced before. And finally, what about Jesus? There's many more, but I'm going to just cut them off. Paul and many other people, but let me cut those off for now. Let's talk about Jesus. I'll wrap it up for today. I'll talk some more about this tomorrow by the grace of God. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus, I mean, people never heard of, you know, the things that Jesus did, like, you know, setting condemned free. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, she would have been stoned to death. You know, and all the things that Jesus just turned things around was something new. That he brought grace, whereas Moses brought condemnation. You know, the law, we're told in John 1 and 17, came by Moses and Saul, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And how Jesus would set free somebody that was condemned to be stoned to death. That was something new. Even the people, they couldn't believe it. And Jesus said, yeah, I'm going to let her go. And that was Moses. Well, no, not here now. This is the new thing. This is the new deal. And it threw away many of the things that Moses used to do. That people, you know, were all following those times. Say, look, you guys used to hear it done this way and this way. But especially putting away your wives and all those things. So in the beginning, it wasn't so. Was for because of the hardness of your hearts. Now I tell you, you will not do that. It used to be, hate your enemies, love only your friends. Jesus would say, well, I tell you, love those that hate you. That was always something new. A new commandment even said, you know, I give you, love your enemies. People couldn't do it. And nobody ever did it. You always hated your enemies. You love your friends. You love your family, but you hate your enemies. And Jesus said, no, you got to love your enemies. Now that was something new. But guess what was even new? That God would save all the guilty people of this world by the death of one man. That was something new. And that God, through Christ, would bring that redemption to mankind. That was something new. And Christ demonstrated it even to his last minute on the cross. Someone that was already condemned to die by the systems of this world, judged, found guilty, even with his own mouth, he confessed that he was guilty and deserved it. Dying out with his last breath, cried out to the Lord, the thief on the cross. Jesus saved him right there and there. That was something new. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we are going to pray for is that we must experience something new in our lives. Not what we've experienced before, but something new. And if you have experienced before, then a new and higher dimension. Show me things, Lord, that I cannot explain. Make me into what I cannot become. Hallelujah. Show me things that I cannot see. Take me to where I've never been and I couldn't reach on my own. Make me new, Lord, again. These are prayers that we must pray. And we're going to talk about this some more tomorrow by the grace of God. But this is the lesson today. And the Lord will make even his church into something new. I'm going to stop here and I'm going to make an altar call of sorts. Even though we are only here virtually, you know, I can't let this kind of lesson go without inviting people. If you want to experience something new, I'm going to make this altar call here right now. There may be people in here right now or even listening later on that have not experienced something new with the Lord. You know, you've been going to church or you've been around religion and so forth. Well, Christ is something new. The Lord said, if, you know, scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's right. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It's something new. I want you to come. The Lord wants you to come. And if you've been in Christ also, but your life is broken, shattered in pieces. Well, the Lord showed Jeremiah how the potter made it again. God can show you, cause you to experience something new. There's shattered and broken life. The Lord can cause you to experience something new. And if you have not experienced real power of God in your life, like Gideon, say, well, we've been hearing these miracles. We read in the Bible. People are always telling us of things that will happen in the future. They're telling us of things that happened in the past, things that are going to happen in the future. But what about now? If you have that hunger and that thirst in your heart, you can experience something new from God. Hallelujah. You know, if doctors say this thing cannot be done, well, Jesus said, I'm going to cause you to experience something new. Glory to God. There's always something new, more that we can experience from the Lord. I'll be praying in the room in just a minute. We'll talk some more about this tomorrow by the grace of God. But right now, I want you, if you would like to experience something new, I'm going to make this call right now. I want you to lift your hand if you are in this audience or put your name in the chat room or whatever. But indicate somehow, if you're on stage also, indicate somehow that you want to experience something new. And I'm going to pray. The Lord gave Jeremiah the invitation. Call unto me, he said, and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Doesn't matter what you know. I'm going to show you more that you've never known. Many of us, our lives are just, you know, in circles or stagnant or going nowhere. You know, for years and years, you've never experienced something new. Well, this year, beginning today, may you experience something new. And I pray that our hearts will yield, glory to God, yield to this call. Well, God can't force anybody on to do anything. He can't force anything on you. But if you want to experience something new, I want you to type your name in the chat room. I'm going to put my name there right now. I want something new, Lord. Enoch experienced something new. Everybody said he's going to die. Enoch said no. And he experienced something new. Elijah, chariots of fire. And all these examples, Moses, after all the miracles and everything, still wanted more. Would you come to the Lord today? Experience it. You know, it doesn't matter where you've been. You know, even in, you know, I'm talking about spiritual things, but even in material things, it's all the same. Doesn't matter what you have. God can give you more. Glory to God that you can have the more abundance. That's what the Bible says. He that hath more shall be given more, that he may have the more abundance. Hallelujah. So whatever it is, mostly spiritual things first, and then material things even after. You know, whatever we want from God, whatever area in our life needs to be satisfied, that we're still believing God for, God can show you something new. And I'm going to pray right now. I was waiting for people to put their names, then I'm going to pray over the names that are here. Hallelujah. You know, I take it that you put your name in the chat room. That's your indication of raising your hand. I am going to pray over these names, Lord, that we want something new. My name is there, and I want something new from the Lord. I have seen the power of the Lord in the sanctuary. I have seen some great things, and the Lord said, well, how many of you are here that saw this house in its former glory? Well, I have. But I want something new, Lord. Glory to God. I want to see something new. Where be those miracles again? I've been a lull in the things of God, but the power of God coming anew. Psalmist says, show me thy power as I saw it one time in the sanctuary. Lord, I want to see and experience something new. Moses said, I'm not satisfied. I want more. Show me your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. I pray for everyone here that wants to experience God in a new way. Let the Holy Spirit move upon our lives. Take away the clouds that are covering our eyes, our spiritual eyes, that we may see, Lord. Remove the things that are blocking our ears. You know, Jesus said, buy of me your gold that you may be rich. You know, get that eyes off from me that your eyes may see. Right now you're blind. You think you see, but you don't see anything yet. Lord, I pray for the grace of God to reveal himself in us in many ways. Show us new things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.